Hey, everybody. Good morning. As a special surprise this morning, we're dropping in an episode of Boy Crazy. We've got a special guest joining us, Chris Fairbanks. So funny. You're going to love this. So enjoy this episode. And we will be back next week with a regularly scheduled episode of The Grolic Saves the World. In the meantime, y'all, stay boy crazy. Boy, crazy. Oh my God, Adam. We're freaking back, dude. Boy Crazy is back.
It's been too long. I'm excited to be here. Andrew is with us as well. But we are also joined by a very special guest today. Kind of a guy I've been boy crazy about for a while. Chris Fairbanks is here, everyone. Chris Fairbanks.
Oh, shucks.
Welcome, Chris. A hunk's
Thank
hunk.
You. Thank you. Happy
skateboarder
to be here.
And a golfer, something for everyone. Something for everyone, right?
Yeah, can we?
Yeah, I've really spread myself thin lately over all the leisure sports.
Yeah, you were mentioning that you bowled a deuce. You bowled a 200 on the other day.
And yeah. I was getting close, and I finally pulled it off.
Yeah, well, congratulations. I know.
And somehow the fashion works for every sport. At all, you don't have to change clothes between the skateboarding and the golf, which is great.
I do have little, I've sectioned my closet off into different activities. But it's important to note, I don't have any stand-up gigs booked. I've kind of let some other things in life fall through the cracks. I think I should contact comedy clubs, and I just book another 9 holes at Roosevelt.
Hey, man.
Right there with
We're
you
in the same boat,
my friend.
We're here talking about hunks. That's what we
do. I don't want to talk any more about dumb shit that no one gives a fuck about.
Exactly.
Because we're here to talk about hunks with Chris Fairbanks. I got to say, I'm with Andrew. You've been on my hunk list for a long time. I think you're a cuddly little hunk who can skateboard, who can do the comedy, who can play the golf. And it's you've not sexualized it. That's the thing I love. You know what I mean?
Right.
But we brought you in because you're a little bit of somebody who lives on the fringes of the comedy world. You're somebody
in society.
Who lives... Yeah, and society, and I think you're somebody who knows how to be a little bit of a bad boy. So I think you
this
can.
This is the perfect episode.
It is then. Because today, for all of our listeners and all of our boy crazy fans, we're ranking the hunkitude of the cast of the fucking Outsiders. Oh my God!
This is Mount Rushmore. This is Mount Rushmore stuff. It could not be a more classic episode of Boy Crazy than digging in to the 7 hunks of the Outsiders. Now, I want to
listen. This is a Golden Corral buffet of hunks.
Exactly.
Oh,
it's
my
a
God.
classic coming-of-age movie about sociopaths that walk around sexually harassing people and assaulting other people. And it was formative to all of our childhood.
Yes. Yeah. And the thing is that this was a movie that launched people into the pool of hunks, to the hunk pool of Hollywood.
Absolutely.
And
a fucking murderer's row of tier one hunks in some of their earliest roles. You know, this movie is really an investment in hunk futures because none of the hunks in this movie know how to act at all yet. They will get there in their careers.
Yeah.
But this was
clear that the casting was hunk first, acting second.
Hunk first,
for sure.
Chops second, which is kind of how we've always operated on this podcast. So I appreciate Francis Ford Coppola for being like, listen, I could have a dog out there with this fucking with this dialogue. It's just the same amount of brain power going on. We're hunks first. So
right,
I,
exactly.
I love that.
Exactly. Adam, I'm with you. I think what Coppola said, he said, find me all of the best Jaws you can find on some kids here.
Yep.
Bring me nary a rounded jaw in this cast.
Yep.
A lot of hard angles on the face. I like it. I'd like to go through the cast real quick, but first...
Let's recap the movie if people haven't seen it so they know what we're talking
about. But I want to ask, Fairbanks, you've seen The Outsiders, correct?
It was one of my favorite books, and that's why I'm here today.
No,
I've also seen the movie.
Books? This is not
Yeah, I read
books.
The book several times when I was a kid.
I don't want to go into your imagination.
It's the only, I have it here on my shelf. It's a great book.
It is a great book, but we don't give a fuck about
reading.
Well,
no, that's a great question, though. When you were reading it, were you picturing hunks in your head?
I already knew of the movie, so yes.
Okay.
As I was reading it, all the actors were, you know, I was looking at a poster.
Sure.
I had that out. I had the book open. I had my pants down. It was all it was
again.
I
don't want to have to. And this is a problem when we have a guest.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And this is not sexual. It's purely scientific.
This is academic.
No, of course, that's not what I meant. It's just I would read it very early in the morning, and oftentimes I was in the middle of getting dressed.
Got it.
And I'd start reading the book. I can't wait any longer, mother.
And reading of The Outsiders.
Yeah, my mother would be standing in the doorway holding my pants. Please, please stop reading, she'd say.
Yeah.
And so that's what I meant.
We should have let you finish, and I apologize.
Yeah,
our bad. That is our bad that I would assume I should know you. You got a heart of gold. I should have known
you.
Well,
Fairbanks knows the deal. Knows the deal. So this... Yeah, this movie is a classic coming-of-age story. It's set in the mid-60s. It's about greasers, a group of classic rockabilly dudes versus the Socs, who are the, I don't know, what are they, jocks?
Preppy kids.
They were working-class
kids from a tough part of town.
The mainstream kids.
Versus the rich kids.
Yeah.
Early in the movie, there's a murder. One of the characters murders someone kind of in defense of his friend who they're drowning in a fountain, and they kind of go on the lam, and it just kind of follows this group. They're like kind of tumultuous ride here.
Now,
they
Andrew
end up saving a bunch of
was
kids
allowed to see this
movie
because his parents had told him that this was a parable about Jesus and, of course, the Christians. That's why he used the word lamb. Of course, and there was a lot of things. So that's why Andrew, you've actually seen this movie. Were you able to thaw out your television from the garage, bring it in, and watch it on the old
deep cut for our Grolic Saves the World listeners? You're welcome
on the old 10x10 screen that you were that you were allowed to.
Let's get into the movie a little bit. Let's get into the hunks. One thing I did notice immediately as I rewatched this week. Was that he doesn't even go by Francis Ford Coppola in this. It's just Francis Coppola. And I think that's because even he was kind of ashamed of how boy thirsty he was in this one. He's like, I'm going to go with my secondary name just in case this one gets me on a list. But he cast, let's just name the fucking cast and try to fall out of your chair.
And Adam, I want to add to that. This is Brolita. That's what it is.
Oh, my God, it is.
You know what I mean? This is a Nabokov-type thing, but it's about hunks. The cast is everything, though, Adam. Hit him with some of the names.
I mean, I'll hit you with all the names. Out the gates, we have Tom Cruise.
Oh,
we have Rob Lowe. We have C. Thomas Howell. We have Ralph Macchio. We have Matt Dillon. We have Emilio Estevez. And we have Patrick fucking Swayze.
Have you all heard of a little guy named Patrick Swayze? Holy shit.
In one movie.
I think we should just go through and kind of discuss. Now, we've got the classic Outsiders poster. I'm going to work standard American left to right reading.
Okay? Not a Hebrew right to left, a standard American left to right.
Left to right.
And if you're listening to this, go ahead and do a Google image search for The Outsiders. You're going to come across this classic poster. It's all seven of them standing outside the abandoned church where a bunch of kids almost died. It's a hot spot, and you can see them all here. A lot of denim.
Yeah, so much denim. And I think we should start far left with, oh, my God, of all people, a young Tom Cruise.
Right.
Tom Cruise.
Now this is before a Hollywood studio fixed his face. It's before the studio system got
Tom Cruise
involved,
plays Steve Randall.
Yeah, I didn't like his name. They all had like Pony Boy and Dairy, and there were just other cool two-bit.
Soda Pop.
Yeah, and Soda Pop. And then Steve.
Steve Randall. He's kind of he's a real bit character. He like works at a gas station or something. Doesn't have a big presence in the movie. And if this is the only movie you saw him in, you'd be like, that's a goofy ass looking dude.
Yeah. I think my thing with Tom Cruise in this that I liked about him is that one, he was a working class guy. This kid who already had a job who could bring home some money, which I think is a hunk quality.
It's a hunk attribute, a provider hunk.
Yeah, definitely a provider hunk. You know that this guy's going to go and get his welding cert pretty soon. You know what I mean? He's going to be a class one. I mean, by the time he's in his mid-30s, this is a master welder. He's probably in the mid-70s making 20, 30K a year. That's not a bad living.
When you're, especially in the 60s. No. Forget about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, more importantly, in this picture, he has an absolute caboose on him. I mean, look at the can on... He didn't have this butt in his later movies. He's not running around with this can in Mission Impossible. Nope. Look at this butt.
Nope. You could get all 10 cents.
He went side view for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's showing the donk on
picture. Chris, the contours, the way you said it, it feels a little sexualized. So I just want to reiterate.
You're forgetting that I went to art school, and early on, with any human figure, you look... for those contour lines.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure that you're understanding. This is not sexual, it's purely scientific.
Certainly not. Yeah. Certainly not. I love the human form. And when a larger person, someone with the more curves, the better. And my
Ruben-esque.
Penis was
You'd say that Tom
never
Cruise
interrupted
is almost Ruben-esque in this.
Yes.
Tom Cruise is a top tier A-list hunk, but for the sake of this movie, I'm just going to say they hadn't fixed his teeth, so his face was a little odd.
Yep.
It's not the traditional Tom Cruise face you're used to.
Yeah. And did you say summer teeth?
Some are pointing this way, some are pointing that way.
And you said you classic, haven't been doing stand-up?
No. I just floating around the ether.
Oh God!
Yeah. Summer.
One thing.
I've been riding my bike past the improv.
Okay, cool. Well, it's osmosis getting on you or something because you're coming in hot, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
The one thing I do love about Tom Cruise in this role is he has one of my favorite outfits. I love the sleeveless jean jacket.
And why don't you bring it back, Ben? If any of us could pull it off, I think it'd be you.
Well, it's my side tit that I'm worried about. I'm worried about my side tit.
It's showing a little side boob to the old Levi's vest.
I don't want anybody to see that they're not fully, they're not solid.
Your nipples are coming out the side.
Yeah, they, you know, I mean, they, yeah. So
can I say something about Tom Cruise for a minute?
Please,
in this movie?
Please do.
Listen, I feel like Tom Cruise occupies the same real estate in this film as Emilio Estevez, in that they're very, like, all the characters are very two-dimensional. These guys are one-dimensional. They're just pure greaser id. They want to fight. They want to fuck. They want to eat chocolate cake on the living room floor with their shirts off. They're just kind of like the pure energy of the greasers. And I appreciate that in Tom Cruise in this movie. If you know,
he goes really wild in the big rumble scene.
He's
Tom
so
Cruise
fired
gets
up
real
for the
unhinged.
Rumble.
You can see that future Tom Cruise. You're like, oh yeah, they're using a lot of Tom Cruise in this fight scene because he is going off.
They're
yeah,
not
with,
giving him a lot
with
of
every punch.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Every time he hits someone, he sees the apparition of a space alien float from their body, releasing those what we call emotions. The funny
Chris,
Emilio Estevez is really funny in this.
Yeah, he's
he had jokes.
I think people forget that Emilio Estevez. We're jumping ahead.
Let's move over to Emilio.
Well, let's go to Emilio. We'll jump around in line, I guess. Emilio, at this time,
very young Emilio Estevez. His character is
he was a comedic actor.
He's too big.
He was a comedic actor at this time, and my God, he was funny. And I think kind of a hunk. I think he was kind of a hunk in this movie. Maybe it's his personality. Maybe it's the Mickey Mouse, the sleeveless Mickey Mouse shirt.
Yeah.
Which I thought was Mickey shirt. You never see that. No. You never see that.
And he made it fucking tough.
Which
and
is I hard. Like this. Not just anybody can it make a hard. Sleeveless Mickey tee tough, but Emilio did pull that off.
Now
he barely made the cut. You know, it was three callbacks because he does have an oval shaped face, less angular.
Yes.
And so they decided to give him a child's shirt.
Well, because and I think now you got rid of the creepy shit that felt a little sexualized. And now I think you're starting to find your groove.
Ben, this is more about child development. It's been an interest of mine for a long time, be it mental and physical.
I just want to stop you right there, Chris. Once again.
Some of the more oval-shaped faces do become angular with adolescence.
Adam mentioned, I think, Emilio Estevez's most winning scene. He has a full chocolate cake and a bottle of beer. Yep. And he plops down in front of the TV to watch Mickey Mouse, and he sits down holding the tray. And I was like, wow, great core strength to be able to just sit down holding a tray with a bottle of beer balancing on it.
Yeah,
it
so I think you're right, job. Andrew. I think this is a guy who'd probably been in the gym before production. He's somebody who knew that he was going to have to own that scene. He was going to give something dynamic and memorable. And we already talked about Emilio Estevez during the Young Guns episode. And this is Emilio not long before Young Guns. This is pretty close to that time frame.
He's not super hunky in this for me. I think his hair is disgusting.
I like it. I like the Lyle.
His hair is just kind of piled in a crash in the middle of his head. I love the Lyle Lovett.
I'm into it. It's almost Danziggy. It's almost Lyle Lovett. I like it. Adam, what were you going to say that's more educated than Andrew's opinion?
That there is the same feral energy that we see in Emilio Estevez in Young Guns. I feel like he was in this time in his career, he was occupying this sort of wild man role. He's also excited for the Rumble. He also wants to see some fucking blood tonight. You know what I mean? But he does have a bit more to do than Tom Cruise because he does go and visit Ponyboy in the hospital. He is showing another softer side of himself. So he's straddling the line of like hardcore greaser.
But I think you're being hard on Tom. Tom had to work a double at the gas station that day or he would have gone in. And I think that you're forgetting that Tom is a working class guy.
I think Francis C. said, if I put this fucking toothy kid in another scene, he's going to blow it. He's almost fucking up every scene he's doing.
He's like, look, this guy's not going to be a star. I'm not going to waste any more real estate on this Tom Cruise guy. Let's just...
I like Emilio Estevez in this. I don't think he is an apex hunk.
No, he's back of the pack when it comes to the outsiders. Back of the pack, for sure.
But I think personality-wise, he's somebody that I really like. He's got a lot of heart. He's a little bit of a wild man.
The show isn't called Personality Crazy, you dumb fuck.
Oh, here we go again. Look at that. Look at that. The Chihuahua nibbles.
Let's move on to another actor before we get stuck in the weeds of this. I can't.
Okay, let's move down the line, though, as we were going left to right.
We got Rob Lowe.
Soda Pop. Arguably the best nickname in the movie. And I would argue a top three hunk in
this
film. His
name actually is Soda Pop in the movie. His nickname is Soda.
Right.
In a weird twist.
Soda Pop Curtis.
It's Soda Pop on his birth certificate.
Yes.
And he is brothers with the C. Thomas Howell character and the Patrick Swayze character. Those three are supposed to be brothers in this movie, correct?
That's right.
Very small presence in the movie.
They're being raised by Derry. The
grade A hunk.
Yes.
He's the only other guy with a job, and he actually has his boiler's license. I don't know if you guys...
Does he really?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I went into this movie with an older sister, 6 years older than me, so she already was well-versed in the Brat Pack, which this is kind of the first movie that assembles a lot of the Brat Pack.
The seed of the Brat Pack.
Yeah, I think when I first saw The Outsiders, St. Elmo's Fire was already out. So I knew that Rob Lowe, he played saxophone. He wore a headband that I wish I could get away with. Just style-wise. God, I admired the guy in a non-sexual way,
Thank
Ben.
You. Thank
no,
you.
It's so prescient that you bring up the style of this because... all these guys are hardcore denim. All these guys are sort of rockabilly, like Ben was saying earlier, or Andrew was saying earlier. But Rob Lowe is a softer greaser. He'll wear a flannel that appears to be clean. If he deigns to wear a shirt at all, which is like, thank you, your choice, Rob. I'm cool either way, bud.
Pause real quick. Chris, do you see how when Adam says that, it doesn't feel as gross? And,
right,
and so if you were to say it, there's something about the tone of your voice. I think that's
I
what
know,
it is.
And I recognize it, and also I'm willing to admit I'm here to learn.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that, because it's not every guest that is as big as you are. Most guests get sort of confrontational when we back them into a corner and lash out a little bit.
No.
You really,
hey,
you really
I understand. The spirit of this. Just now that we have them all here together, though, just let's do a quick roll call of the gams on everyone. No, Rob Lowe has the legs of a 12-year-old child. Look at those little getaway sticks.
Yeah, he's a stick in this picture.
Those are two uncooked pieces of spaghetti propping that boy up.
And I
do, though, I like the little hint of white socks with the black shoes. And the high water jeans. I think that that's a classic rock and roll kind of look. I like Rob Lowe. And
he looks like a Levi's model in this picture.
I'm going to say this is a top three fucking hunk.
I couldn't agree more. I think the voting will probably reflect that. We will see. I will say this, and this might be fucking crazy, but whatever. This is boy crazy.
Yeah,
if anyone of these seven actors could be cast as either Soch or Greaser, it's Rob Lowe.
Rob Lowe has the duality.
Oh, yeah. He would have been a great Soch.
He would have been a great Soch. I don't know.
He would have been a much needed hunk among the Soches because they were kind of all uggos.
That's not true, and you and I are going to fucking disagree on that.
We'll fight about it. We'll rumble about it.
How could you say that about the great Leif Garrett, who in real life was living one of these characters? He was walking out in the streets.
Leif was.
He was in Teen Beat magazine, framed in a heart.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
Cut to him on World's Dumbest on True TV, where he would have to take breaks while I was directing to smoke from tinfoil in his car. He had burns on his nose. That's just some of the behind the scenes. What a nice guy, though.
Oh,
he brought a coffee in. Every one of these guys who see Thomas Howell, Leif Garrett, Rob Macchio, all those are the nice guys.
Yeah.
Emilio Estevez disappeared because he's nice. These other, all the other guys that had a huge career, unshakable pricks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that curious?
That is.
That's how this city works?
Industry works. Yeah. And I think, but let's get back to the boys and get back to
We got bogged down in
I just
insider,
want to say Leif Garrett is gorgeous.
If we got bogged down in insider Hollywood culture, guys, we would never put out an episode. This is about the aesthetics. This is about the boys.
Okay.
It's not about their careers. It's not
here
about
to learn.
The drama.
I'm
here to learn.
It's a different format for a podcast, and I understand. But gosh, you're almost there, and I want you to know you're so close.
See Thomas Howell, Ben. What do you have to say about him?
See how happy I get when this kid comes across the screen, because I tell you what, this is not a C. He should be A+ Thomas Howell, because this is a guy three for me.
Ben, when you make sense, you make a lot of sense. I watched him traipse across the screen. I says to myself, is this a fucking Jimmy Dean? Is this James Dean on my screen right now? Who's this young heartthrob?
Is it Jimmy Dean?
I says that to myself.
That's my boy right there. Fairbanks, Adam has always been my boy. Andrew, not so much, but Adam has always been my boy because he comes in and he sees the angles. And that's you know, what do you think, Fairbanks? What do you think of C. Thomas Howell in this? Tell me what your thoughts are on this.
I've always been a fan of since Soul Man, the movie that could never be made ever again.
Andrew was texting about that today. Tell people what Soul Man's
Google
about.
Google the movie Soul Man. Yeah, give us the quick synopsis of the movie Soul Man.
You'd like it from me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In order to get a, I believe, a college scholarship C. Thomas Howell overdoses on tanning pills, causing his skin to make him appear to be African-American, thereby giving him this academic scholarship. And then he learns a little bit about the black culture in the process, and we all become better people for watching this horrid movie.
Overdoses on tanning pills. Yep. Yeah, science that could only happen in the 80s.
Yeah, it's the only way. That was the last good way to do blackface.
That movie. Wow. I forgot that movie existed until I was watching
The Outsiders. Can't believe it existed.
And I was like, where have I seen this guy before?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he rebounded so well after Soul Man. That certainly is not what we're up.
He is the shining star here. I mean, he's Pony Boy Curtis. Yes. He's arguably the main character of the movie.
Famously, he's one of the nicest people. That's what you hear. He didn't claw his way to the top like these other monsters.
Well, what I like about him physically in this movie is non-traditional hunk. Is more of an interesting face than a hunky face, yet it veers into hunky. And he was able to pull off blonde hunk and brunette hunk in this.
Yeah. Thank you. I would say blonde C. Thomas Howell is a straight up. That's a hunk. That's a classic hunk right there.
When they first dyed his hair to disguise his identity, I thought, oh no, what'd you do with my little hunk boy? But then 10 minutes later, it's like I don't even remember that kid from before. Yeah. I'm all about
this setting
blonde.
The style for decades to come. Yeah. It's like this will look cool in decades from now, thanks to what he just
made. Eminem.
You're welcome.
It was Eminem.
Yeah, owes it. Yeah. Guys, I don't want to do this, but I think it's probably best that we take a real quick break.
Let's take a steam break.
Yeah, because right now I can't see my webcam is fogged up from all of the steamy hunks that we have in this hornucopia that's happening right now. So we're going to take a quick break. For those of you that are Patreon subscribers, you'll just continue on with this.
Macchio. You'll get us talking about Matt Dillon. You'll get us talking about Patrick Swayze. We're going to get into that.
And then crowning a king hunk. You'll get all of that. For those of you that are just listening on the regular feed, we're going to stop it here. If you want to finish and hear the rest of it, please check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/GrolicSaves. As always, it is down there in the show notes. That's the best way you can support this podcast. And we'll be back next Tuesday with a brand new episode of the Grolic Saves the World podcast. Don't you fear, but in the meantime, stay boy crazy, y'all. We're just a trio of guys.